Hey there. Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, COVID numbers continue to fall in most destinations. Hotel occupancy levels are up, and the White House says the vaccine mandate won't get in the way of holiday travel. Details next in the travel news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, the Travel Guys ask, is it time to agree on a minimum level of airline etiquette?
You mean be civilized to each other on the plane? Crazy idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we'd like to talk to you on this rainy Sunday afternoon. Are you a big tipper on the road? More Scrooge-like? Take our tippers test and share your pet peeves on those airplanes we were speaking about. That starts at 3:35.
Who you tip and how much is sort of a personal thing, and we'll talk about it. When and where the most travelers tip, and the award, and we got some prizes to award to our best caller. The numbers will be 926-921-1530 and 800-834-1530.
We'll give you the signal before the news. If you're new, welcome to Sacramento's Travel Show. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All I want in heaven, man.
I come from a land, land, land.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, high above the clouds here on in my domain at home. Finally, after 30 days on the roads to San Antonio, Mark is there at the Sports Leisure Vacations office, and we're both getting a lot of rain. So it's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget now, travelguysradio.com. Mark, I've been trying to drain the water off of my pool as this torrential downpour is filling it. People who have pools know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
I don't know many people that have, like, auto pool drain.
It just sounds a little strange. I'm trying to drain my pool in the middle of the worst storm in the last, you know, 3-4 years.
Yes. Yes, and to be honest with you, I'm having a hard time keeping up. That's how hard it's been.
So you're draining water out the bottom so that it doesn't overflow over the top. Is that the deal?
That is exactly right.
I'm not a pool. I've never owned a pool, so I'm excuse my elementary question there.
There you go. Just imagine you're in your bathtub, you're outdoors.
Uh-huh. Right.
You filled your pool, your bathtub, and it starts to rain.
Right.
Now, I suppose if you're in a bathtub and your bathtub overflows, not a big deal.
Am I naked or do I have clothes on? Well, the neighbors are going to care. I mean, you know.
Okay. We've digressed. By the way, that's Mark Hoffman. I'm Tom Romano, and welcome to the program. Mark, not much going on that we want to talk about at the top of the show. So
no,
if you're ready.
I think we could just jump into the travel news here, and we'll just talk about it along the way.
All righty. And with that, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it, here's Mark.
Yeah. Good news for hoteliers. The last week, the week of Columbus Day, had the highest hotel occupancy nationwide that we've seen post-COVID. That number would be 65%, which means roughly 2 out of every 3 hotel rooms in the country were filled over a week period of time for the first time in year and a half. Mm-hmm. So good news for the hoteliers, providing that they have enough people to clean the rooms and provide the service and all that kind of jazz. And I know a lot of people in the hotel industry, Tom, a lot of them who are no longer working the floor, shall we say, or the front desk, or they weren't working the floor and the front desk until COVID came along. And now they do their regular job and they work at the front desk 1 or 2 days a week, or some of them clean rooms, or it's not really a fun time to be in hotel management. Some of those folks are stretched a little thin. So they're kind of, I think they kind of would would appreciate the fact that the COVID numbers are coming down, because hypothetically that means that more people will want to go back to work. I don't know. It's really going to be interesting to see, though, if daily housekeeping comes back to hotel rooms. Then the flip side of it is 75% of all hotel stays are one-night stays. So 75% of the time it doesn't make any difference, because you're going right. and you're spending the night and you're leaving and they're cleaning the room for the next person. So it only matters when you stay over. And remember, they were giving us incentives, you know, extra points or a few bucks off the room, or here's a $5 coupon for the restaurant if you don't have housekeeping. So my guess is that we're going to see more of that, because I can't see people checking into a hotel for three nights when this is, you know, we get 6 months down the road or something and normalcy is back, and having the hotel say, well, you know, we're not going to do any housekeeping while you're there, and people being okay with that. I mean, I think that's something that we've all paid for along the way. And unless the hotels come out and say, and it was big advertisements and say, hey, we've dropped our prices 15%, because guess what? There's no more housekeeping involved, you know. So that's going to be a really sticky, because some people are going to be okay with, aren't you one of the people who is fewer times somebody comes in your room type guy?
Yeah, I am.
Okay,
the fewer times they come in, the better. I need my towels, my fresh towels every so many days. You know, I don't need fresh towels every day. I'm okay with hanging up a towel and using it two or three times before they swap them out. So for my wife and I, that works out pretty well. Our stay at a Home 2 Suites in San Antonio was a perfect blend, because they had people there that would do that light cleaning and get you towels if you needed them virtually every day. No. And every 5 days, of course, how many people go and stay in a hotel for 30 days, right?
See, exactly.
So every 5 days they would do a full clean if you so chose. I did notice a lot of new faces at the front desk, and a couple of them I you know, we chatted, and they were new. They were brand new. They hardly knew what they were doing, but there was a person there. And there were many occasions where there was nobody at the front desk, and you had a long wait if you needed anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of shortage. It'll be interesting to see. Frankly, I agree with you. I think the hotels will, given the opportunity, discontinue a lot of the maid service, and except for in certain situations. And if they don't discontinue it completely, you're going to have to ask a lot to get any.
Yeah, you're going to have to. It's going to be. I can certainly see that. Can see that happening. And it's. But you know, I don't know. I'm one of those guys. When I come back, when I take a tour out on the road, like we took a group. Most recent tour, I won't name the hotel, but they said, well, you know, only after you've been here 3 days will we clean the rooms. Well, it turned only after you'd been there three nights, and we were there four nights. So we came back after the third night, third night we'd stayed there and been out of the hotel during the day and came back in the afternoon. Well, the hotel didn't have enough help, so the rooms still weren't cleaned, and you still had – they still would only do it on request. And some people were having their rooms cleaned at 8:30 at night, and that wasn't – I mean, I don't know that was the hotel's fault, but I don't know. And what scares me, Tom, is the holidays are coming up. So if hotels at two-thirds full, it's a struggle. What happens when all the hotels are 80% full and don't have enough help? Who's going to pick the people up in the shuttle van at the airport if that guy's cleaning rooms, or if he's doing some other maintenance chore or something like that in the hotel? So it's sticky. It's just sticky right now. I wish for it all. I wish to wave a wand and for it all to be gone. Anyways, we best get moved along here a little bit, or we won't get any of these stories shared with people. The White House and the airlines say the vaccine mandate won't impact holiday travel. After really talking tough to start with, the airlines have backed off a little bit. Somewhere in this pile, I've got the Southwest guy saying that he's not going to fire anybody for not getting a vaccine, which is not going to make everybody happy. I know people who work for Southwest who really didn't want to get the vaccine, but they got it because they thought they had to get it to keep their job. So now the boss comes back and says, well, you know, I was only kidding. So how is, you know, good Lord. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly says he doesn't think it's going to disrupt holiday travel here. He says, quote, we're not on a campaign here to force everybody to get vaccinated. We want our employees to know nobody's going to lose their job on December 9th if we're not perfectly in compliance. Well, okay, so are those people not going to, if you're not going to fire them, are you going to lay them off? Are you going to put them in the back room? Are they going to wrap plastic around them so they can't? I mean, it's kind of inconsistent as to who's going to do how they're going to do what. Hotel taxes are going up in Hawaii. Island of Maui are raising the hotel taxes 3% for anything on or after November the 1st. So if you're headed to Maui and you get there and the hotel says, oh, the tax went up 3%, you'll know they're not BSing you. They're really telling you the truth this time around. My guess is that as much as any destination, Hawaii is going to see some additional costs for handling all this COVID stuff because they're in the visitor business. So it's fairly understandable to think that there might be some need for additional funding there, and probably the way it would come would be hotel taxes. That would be my guess. So it didn't surprise me a whole lot. Here's something, Tom. You're kind of a Lyft Uber guy when you're out on the road. This is really alarming. Uber a couple weeks ago announced their sexual assault report, said they had 6,000 cases of sexual assault over 2.5 years. Lyft now says it recorded more than 4,000 cases of sexual assault over 3 years. Their definition of sexual assault is a little bit loose, but still, does that seem like a large number to you, or maybe just compared to the number of rides?
It's almost to the point where, you know, if you're looking to be sexually assaulted, the place to go to go get yourself a ride. Now, that concerns me, particularly, you know, since I have ladies in my life, wife and daughters, and they occasionally will travel alone and whatever, and not good. Those are bad numbers.
Well, and Lyft, they kind of had to drag the numbers out of Lyft. Uber was out first. And so they say that they're doing something with this. Look, I'm a guy, so I'm not as concerned about that. If I get, you know, sexual assault, I guess I could get, you know, robbed or something like that. But if I were a lady and I'm just using an app to call to summon somebody, I'd like to think that there's some that if something happened, there would be some method of reporting it and people. And so what this kind of tells me is that it might be a concern. I suspect we're going to hear a little bit more about this story before it goes completely away. Funny Girl is coming back to Broadway, I see here. That's a classic old show. Here is a kind of a cool story. Disney Cruise Line will debut its new cruise ship on a float in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I'll be tuned in for that.
Yeah, that seems kind of cool. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is a treasured tradition at the heart of family holiday celebrations, says the press release from Disney. And speaking of things that wouldn't be quite so family-oriented, Italian flight attendants, you know, Italia has the airline is going away. And so now there's a new airline, national airline in Italy, and a bunch of the flight attendants went to one of the big squares in Rome and stripped down to their undies to protest working conditions on their new airline. So
there's some way to protest working conditions.
I'm sure
they attracted a lot of attention.
If you're going to use the lifting of travel restrictions here in a couple weeks to go to Italy and you're going on their brand new airline, you might want to check all that out just to make sure that they have a staff to get you there. LAX wants you to know that they have a people mover still on target for its 2023 debut. That will be kind of cool because getting around that airport is exceptionally difficult, particularly if you come in on a domestic flight, you have to go out on an international flight. Sometimes the distances you have to go and shuttle buses are a little bit, you know, tough. So that can be a kind of a tough thing. Canadian government has changed its travel advisory for the U.S. after 19 months of warning against non-essential travel, anticipating the country's border reopenings on November the 8th. This will be the first time Canadians can come to the United States. They have changed their advisory to a caution warning saying only vaccinated Canadians should travel to the U.S. as opposed to saying nobody should travel to the U.S. And that is your travel news for today.
Boy, a lot of good stuff there, that's for sure. And we are the Travel Guys. Again, TravelGuysRadio.com. After a short time out, The travel guys, we're going to talk about minimum level of airline etiquette. You're going to love this. That's next here on The Travel Guys. Hey there, Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Weather update at the bottom of the hour, by the way. I do believe with Bill White, so be here for that. All right, Mark, travel etiquette, is there such a thing? I rarely see it.
Well, we've gotten so competitive in, particularly at airports. You know, an airplane is probably the place where you have the least amount of space, personal space, and other people have the least amount of personal space. And if you're on one of the legacy carriers where you can rent more space, i.e. first class, economy plus, you know, you can get a few extra inches for $100 or something like that. Space per inch on airplanes is more expensive than it is anywhere else. And so we're about to get back on the plane together. I guess we've been doing that all along, but it's a little rougher now. Maybe we could be a little nicer when we get on the airplane. And I just thought, you know, there are a few things that kind of rub me a little bit the wrong way that I'd like to mention. And I thought after the bottom of the news, we might ask some of our listeners if there was something, you know, do you have a pet peeve or is there something that people do that really makes you happy on airplanes that you'd like to share? 921-1530 and 800-834-1530 are our phone numbers, and we'll take phone calls after the news. Here's a couple of mine. Backpacks. You're getting on the airplane with a backpack. A lot of people carry a backpack these days, and a lot of people carry a backpack that's heavy, and it's big, and it's their carry-on, and it's their life is in their backpack. And they get on the airplane with it, and it's still attached to their back. And they start walking down the aisle, and when they find the seat that they want, or the one that's theirs, depending on which airline it is, they make an abrupt 90-degree turn. And that backpack sometimes goes where they don't have any idea, and they don't even feel where it's going. Pow! Right in the kisser, or in the shoulder, or something like that. Take the backpack off before you get on the airplane. Just carry it down the aisle. You're going to have to take it off when you get to your seat anyway. So that's just a thought. Armrests. It is generally considered etiquette, is it not, Thomas, that the person who is sitting in which seat gets the armrest?
The middle seat
exactly.
Gets the armrest.
Yes. The two middle armrests, within reason. Doesn't mean you get half of the seat attached to the armrest, but you get, you know, to place your arm first, and the other person works around you. Here's another one. Husband and wife get on the plane. You see this a lot on Southwest Airlines. Husband and wife get on the plane. Husband takes the aisle. Wife takes the window.
But they do that in hopes that nobody will sit in the middle.
Right. But then somebody comes along and has to sit in the middle, like you or me.
Yes.
And so now these two people, they talk to each other the whole flight, back and forth across you. To the extent that the other day I actually said to the people, would you like me, I'll be happy to move if you'd like to have, oh, no, we don't want the middle seat. So I just thought, you know, I mean, perhaps I could relay the messages back and forth. One other thing, you're getting off the airplane or you're getting up to use the restroom on a long haul flight. And so it's hard to get up out of that seat. And so you grab the seat in front of you and pull back on it as you get up. Well, that's all fine for you, but for the person in front of you, it can be one hell of an abrupt pull of the seat, especially if they've dozed off or something like that. So if you're grabbing that seat as you get off, wait until the person in front of you has gotten up out of the seat. Now you can grab it with no repercussion. If you need to grab it while we're in flight, maybe you could just tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm about to get up and I need to grab your seat here. Sorry if that disturbs you. It's just little things. You can probably think of a number more of these. We would love to talk about them. After the news break, we're going to take calls. We have, I think there's a round table pizza coupon here for $50 here. We'll give it away at random to one of our callers in the second hour. 921-1530. Let's see, that's 916-921-1530 and 800-834-1530. Pet peeves on an airplane, or we have the tippers test coming up too. We'll see how you do on that, Mr. Romano, coming up after the news.
Okay, yes, we're going to talk tipping. We're not talking about tipping cows. We're talking about tipping service. And that's all coming up here on the Travel Guys. All righty. Stick around again, travelguysradio.com, for links to our special guests and so much more here on the Travel Guys. Stick around. The news is next. We are the Travel Guys. Here we are, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Once again, follow along and check out information to make you a smarter traveler at travelguysradio.com. Mark?
We got the phone lines open here. If you're just sitting around listening to the rainfall on the roof and you'd like to comment, we have a tippers test here. We have some questions to ask you when you call in. And we'd also like to know, maybe what's your pet peeve, good or bad, on an airplane? Because you could share it with everybody. There's enough people listening here. You might convince the person who's about to inflict that on you not to do it next time. Anyway, 916-921-1530 or 800-834-1530 if you'd like to give us a shout. Because otherwise, I'm going to sit here and give this test to Thomas. So, I mean, one way or another, we're going to. Hey, I got a couple of little things here. You're traveling. I don't know about you. I was flying a Southwest flight the other day, and we got to Sacramento. The door wouldn't open. Couldn't get the door open. It was like, 10 minutes. The pilot comes on, and he says, look, folks, you can't make this stuff up. We had been an hour and a half in Burbank waiting to leave because they were having some system-wide issues. So here's really bad news. You're about to land. This is in Charlotte on Monday. A water main snafu cut off the water supply to the Charlotte airports. So there was no water in the bathrooms for hours. So flight attendants on arriving, America has a hub there. So on arriving, American flights urged passengers to use the lavatory before you got off the airplane.
Oh, my.
That was kind of fun. Joe Brancatelli, who's a guest on this program from time to time, mentions in his column this week that United Airlines has self-righteously boasted about its vaccination rate, 98% staff vaccination rate, and the fact that it only had to terminate around 300 people. But what it doesn't tell you is that there are no vaccine mandates for any of the express carriers. Mm-hmm. So you fly on the mainline carrier to Denver, let's say, and then you get off and you run to the little airplane and you get on, except that those people are not maybe necessarily vaccinated. United forgot to mention that. Another thing here that's kind of interesting, if you need a passport, the regular line for passports now, the backup is 14 weeks. So wow. Plan ahead. If you're thinking Christmas and you need a passport, you're in big trouble. You can go for the expedited service, though. You know how long that takes? 10 to 14 weeks.
Oh, boy, that's expedited, huh?
So, yeah, that's the expedited. And one more last little
word of lane.
Yeah, one little last word of wisdom here is if you are going to travel for the holidays and you haven't bought your tickets yet, consider buying them. And the other thing is consider booking a nonstop whenever possible. Now, I know in Sacramento that there's not a plethora of nonstops, but there's more than there used to be. Southwest. So if you look around a little bit, you might find that there's a nonstop where there didn't used to be, or maybe there's a nonstop into a Los Angeles area airport that's real close to where it wouldn't be as inconvenient, because now you've only got half as much possibility of something going wrong. And listen, last week, the airlines were having problems. Southwest had problems one day. United had problems another day. Spirit had problems another day. So something with the technology is not working perfectly now, so it might be it's time to consider at least the possibility of, if you can get there in one shot instead of two, maybe you don't take the airline where you earn all of your miles. Maybe this one time you take a different carrier because that's the easiest. If you're going to Salt Lake City, you take Delta instead of taking somebody else and making a stop and getting to Salt Lake City. Or if you're going to Denver, you take an airline that goes to Denver instead of going to Salt Lake and changing there. It's just one less thing that can go wrong. That sound like a plan?
Sounds like a great plan. Good suggestions, Mark.
All right.
Do I get to take the tip first to test first, or should we go to with the phone calls?
Well, let's go to the telephones here first.
All right, David Roseville. Welcome to the Travel Guys. How you doing today, my friend? You been washed away yet?
No, I'm on my way to work, and I'm looking forward to spending 12 hours in this all night long.
Oh, You got an outdoor job there?
I work on an ambulance, so.
Okay, so you're going to be outdoors pretty much. Place to place. Be driving in it for sure. Well, you be safe out there. Hopefully you won't get too many calls.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I've got a pet peeve. I fly to Florida about every 90 days. And it's when we go to debark and everybody stands up. You know, I don't sit towards the front. I kind of get the cheaper seat. But when you're getting off the plane, everybody's standing up in the aisles. And it's like, where's the common sense of just, you know, getting off one row at a time? You know, you got people standing there with their rear ends in your face, you know, for 20, 30 minutes.
You got that right. You got that right, David.
And it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to be standing there when you're towards the back of the plane.
It doesn't get you off the plane any quicker. In fact, a lot of times it can make it slower. I don't know. That's one of those human nature things that we're going to have to talk to the psychologists to figure out. Mark, why do people do that?
We boarded in Burbank the other day. And by the way, if you haven't been to the Burbank airport, it's a little tiny airport, except it's a little tiny twice as big as it used to be. They've taken up every square inch of everything there to put more gates, there's more restaurants, more things like that. But yeah, to his point, Southwest in Burbank, you can get on and off the front and the rear of the plane. So there's no jet bridges per se. You just climb up the steps depending on where you're going. So I've always found it easier to go to the back of the plane. I can walk halfway to the front, you know, and get myself settled while you guys are all jostling and fighting yourself. So getting on, that's one way to avoid kind of that crowd. But I agree with the caller. It makes no sense for everybody to get up at the same time, especially now when we're all trying to avoid each other a little bit. And so and your rear end and in my face, I wasn't really planning on getting that intimate with you. Thomas, you just flew home here.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, you know, here again, I was fortunate enough to be near the early front of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Only had a few rows with their butts in my face. But it's true. Everybody gets up at the same time. And
you're a Southwest guy. Do you when you fly United, do you pay extra for economy plus seating and, you know, to get a little bit of extra room?
Yes. The little bit of extra room. I won't go all the way to the front, but somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's worth it to me. But that's rare. Most places I go is Southwest can get me their best.
It's a little less complicated, it seems. Thanks to our caller for calling in. You got somebody else on the line?
Thanks,
there,
David.
You
Jim from Sacramento. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Thanks a lot. I've got the Daily Double for you. The sweet little old lady, or it could be gentleman, who marinates in perfume or cologne and overwhelms everybody within a couple of rows. Sometimes the perfume or cologne is so strong, you get off the plane and your spousal unit says, "Who have you been with? Where'd you spend the day?"
I like that. What's the other half of the Daily Double?
The second half of the Daily Double is really common. Now you've disembarked. You're down there at the baggage claim area. And you can't see your bag for beans when it comes out the chute because everybody's crowding it on the baggage claim wheel. And then when you do luckily spy it and try to pull it off the conveyor belt, you make the turn and there's a guy with a big backpack and you can't get it away from the conveyor belt. So that's your Daily Double.
I'm with that one. If we all took one step back from the baggage claim, if everybody took one step back, then when you spotted your bag, you'd be able to step up and take it off. Because some people's bags are kind of heavy, and getting them off the conveyor belt can be a little bit of a project there.
Yes.
So if you get tangled up in that, and that bag weighs 40 or 50 pounds, then that's not a good place. I'm with you with the odors and the scents, too. I'm a tour operator. So generally, not only do we have people together on an airplane, we then have people together. We get off the airplane and we get on a motor coach. So there's 25 or 30 of us spread out over a motor coach. And if somebody is wearing really fragrant, some type of scent, then everybody's going to get it. And no matter what the scent is, if you put 10 people together, all 10 of them are not going to like it. So it really is a huge, it's really a big deal. If you're going on an airplane, or if you knew you were going to be on a bus, or you were going to be in a crowded space with a small number of people for an extended period of time, watch the odoriferous stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can appreciate people using antiperspirants to cut down the human odor, but to fragrance up when you're traveling in tight spaces, you really need to rethink that.
Yeah, you really do, because it's the number of people that it's going to aggravate is going to be greater than the number of people that it's going to impress, no matter what you paid for it. And the other thing is, if you can keep it and put it on, if you're meeting somebody, you know, and that's their favorite fragrance or something like that, just wait till you step off the plane and you can dab a little there, and then everybody will be fine. So excellent, excellent, excellent. Our audience is with the program here today. Have you got somebody else there, Tom, or you want to talk some tips here?
No, let's take one more, and okay. Then we'll take a short time out, and then we'll talk tipping and move on from there.
Okay, sounds
that
good.
Works for everybody. Okay, Mary from Sacramento, thanks for joining us here on the Travel Guys.
Hi, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
The thing that bothers me, and I know it's hard to travel with children, and I really sympathize, but when the parents don't take care of them and they keep kicking the back of your seat on a long flight.
You know, and it's like the parent doesn't notice that the kid is kicking the back of the seat next to them. And I don't know where the parent, they just drift
what
off, they
we,
put on their head.
Shall we brainstorm here? What should we say to the parent?
What? Well, that's a tricky thing nowadays. Sometimes I just kind of try to look back, you know, and eye contact, and hopefully it will stop.
Excuse me, your child's foot seems to be making consistent contact with the back of my seat. Could you maybe look into that? Wait, Tom's
right.
Got something here.
I know it's hard to travel with children, especially during the holidays or a heavy travel season, but they do have some responsibility.
They do. You know, I've used this on a couple of occasions, and it seems to work. You know, humor always has a tendency to kind of diffuse situations. You kind of lean over or turn loud enough for both the parent and the child can hear you. And would you save that award-winning soccer kick for the game later when you get off the plane, please?
I love that.
And they go,
that's great.
And they laugh about it, and the kid's thinking about their soccer kick, and they'll get the attention, and generally it'll go away. But kids, you know, they forget as quickly as they learn something.
Right.
So you might have to do it twice.
Yeah. Right. No, that's excellent. And here's my own little tip for you. If you're flying on Southwest, remember that the children are boarded after the A group, the families. So 60 people are going to get on the plane, plus whoever was left over on the plane, if it's a through flight. And then the families are going to get on. So if you're trying to avoid the families, or you have a rowdy family in the, you know, with four little kids there, rugrats in the boarding area or something, and you can see that, you can be proactive by putting yourself in the front half of the airplane. Because the family's going to go to where they can see, you know, they can get a whole row or get seats to where they can put the whole family together. By the time 60 people have boarded the plane and anybody that's still on, that's generally going to be past the middle. So if you want to avoid the kids and you're getting on and you're in that coveted A group on Southwest, then you want to be closer to you want to take something closer to the front, because that will get you further, hypothetically, further away from the families. If you're on United, American, or Delta, it's all potluck. So whether or not they got seats next to you.
There you go. Mary, thanks so much. By the way, we're talking about airplane etiquette. We're also going to talk about tipping. We're going to do the tippers test, and we'll jump into that right after we take a timeout. Hang around, Felicia. I know you're still waiting on hold. We'll be back with more here on the Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Hey there, we're talking jet planes, airplane etiquette here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. Let's jump back onto the phones. And Felicia, are you still with us? Thanks for hanging on. You didn't wash away, did you?
Not yet.
All right, my dear. Thank you. You got some comments on airplane etiquette. Is there something that is your pet peeve?
Yeah, I think everybody hit it really spot on, which is great. I think one thing also is just being kind. Like, I fly a lot Southwest in Alaska, and on Southwest, I'm usually A, so I will usually tell the steward or the flight attendant that, hey, I'm traveling alone. If you guys need, you know, a family or somebody together, I'm happy to move. You know, I think it's just kind of, I don't know. I feel like it's the right thing to do. And then on the other aspect of it, also I find, and nobody's going to like me for this, but I also noticed that if we checked all of our bags instead of everything carry on, I think everything would go a lot faster.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Yeah. I mean, and I swear I see stuff that is way over limit. I don't even know if they have that little box at the where you board, where sometimes they'll check somebody's bag to make sure it's not oversized. But this is true. The amount of time spent trying to shove, 50-pound bag into a 10-pound space is sizable.
Yeah. And on the legacy carriers, it's interesting how many people bring a fairly full-size carry-on, you know, like a suitcase, and a fairly full-size carry-on. So, like, neither one of those would fit under the seat, so they're both going to have to go upstairs. So you're going to take half a bin, then? That's for six people with your stuff? That would be, like, fair for everybody? So, yeah, I'm kind of with Felicia. If you've got something that's really pushing the limits, maybe you might want to consider, or, you know, that checking it would be better for everybody.
Just there plot. You go.
There you go. All right.
Right,
so let's talk a little bit about tips here.
Yeah. I've been anxious to do this.
All right. So this is you're going to get this test here, Mr. Romano. First question. Is it true you're never fully dressed without cash?
True.
Yes. In Men and Manners, David Coggins, author of the New York Times best-selling book Men and Manners, says, "You're not fully dressed if you have no cash. Americans are moving towards a cashless future. Tipping is a little more calculated effort, but," he says, "it's no excuse for being out of small bills. The well-dressed man always has a little bit of cash."
I always feel naked without something that to
Let's
use
not
as a tip for the sky cabin.
Let's not talk about nudity
so
here on the Travel Guys, please, sir.
Always feeling a little naked.
Good Lord. You take a complimentary shuttle from the car rental lot to your terminal. To the terminal. The driver unloads your bag from the bus to the curb. You going to tip him?
Yes.
Yes,
however,
correct.
However, if I am riding a shuttle, and SMF is one of them, mm-hmm. and the driver does not even get out of the seat, mm-hmm. I don't make an effort to go over and say, here's something for nothing.
Valid point. And I agree with you. Car rental shuttles, this is the deal. If the guy comes to the door, he takes your bag, he throws it under. You know, he puts it under for you. Then, to me, that's worthy of a gratuity. He's touched the bag and he's assisted me. If he and it's she too, doesn't make any difference as to who it is. Okay, I like that one. You're on an airplane and the flight attendant serves you a drink. Do you tip her or him?
No.
No, that's correct.
But at the same time, I will bring gifts along uh-huh. with me. Mm-hmm. that I give to flight attendants, and usually that's right at when I first get on the plane. I will give them a magazine. I will give them my wife loves to bring sea suckers.
Most airline staff members decline tips. You opt to check your bag curbside with the curbside at the airport. Should you tip the attendant checking your bags?
Absolutely. Sky cabs should always be tipped. In some cases, they make far less, and they're happy to get them. Here again, if you go in, the attendants there at the Southwest or whatever are not allowed to take that tip.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
So yes to the sky caps.
You're staying in a hotel. Tip only at the end of your stay or along the way?
I like tipping along the way. It improves the service on a daily basis while I'm still there.
Yes, excellent, excellent. There's nothing wrong with a little bribery when you're tipping. The hotel manager.
That's called. Huh?
Your hotel manager upgrades your hotel room to a suite. Do you tip her?
Generally not.
That's correct. The hotel manager generally is a salaried employee who doesn't require a tip. There are, gosh, Thomas, there are four or five more of these here, but we're running out of time. Let's save the rest of these for another day. Let's thank all of our callers. Luis will let me know one of our callers will have. Felicia is our winner for the roundtable gift coupon today, gift card. Thank you all for coming along, especially you, Thomas. Dance like
thank
every,
you,
like,
thank you.
Dance like nobody's watching all week.
All right, Felicia told me that she doesn't eat pizza, so I'll be by to pick up that gift card myself on her behalf. Yeah, folks,
yeah.
Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us here, even if it's brief. Keep it here on KFBK for all the weather updates and flooding and so forth. We'll have it. In the meantime, stay well. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, if you go outside, take your oars with you.
The traveler is always leaving town. He never has the time to